Jesus is. We're in this series talking about who Jesus is, spending time and thinking about Jesus. Who is Jesus to a woman who's been healed of a lifelong, practically lifelong disease? That's our focus this morning as we think about Jesus is here. You know, one of the greatest promises Jesus ever made was, when two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst, in your midst. And in his great commission, when he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're celebrating Jesus' presence, Jesus' leadership. And I want to look at this story in a little bit more detail because it seems to have impressed each one of the synoptic gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in a little bit different way. But they all recount this story of a woman who was healed, who had an issue in her life. An issue of blood is what it was called. As we zero in on that and think about that, you might have some notes in your handout, a white piece of paper that has places where scriptures can be highlighted, written down, and some notes taken. It's a chance for us to focus in on that. One of the things I want to think with you about is Jesus' focus on, and his fact that he's here, Jesus' focus on noticing the unnoticed, noticing the reaching. Jesus was famous for concentrating, zeroing in on those that were least in the world. Read with me, if you would, through this. This is the Matthew 9 passage. Just then, a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned to her and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed that very moment. Part of what I want to focus in on is just this idea that Jesus turned and saw her. No, he turned aside. There was a noticing of the unnoticed. In fact, she wanted to be unnoticed. Are there ever any issues in your life that make you want to be unnoticed? In this case, it says she'd been subject to bleeding. One version says it's an issue of blood. And maybe we think of other issues in our lives that might cause us to want to be behind the scenes. Maybe there's an issue in our life that would identify us. If you'd been sick for 12 years, it would be hard not to let that issue define you. Who are you? I'm a sick woman. You know, that would be the identification. Be very careful about identifying with the issues in your life, because Jesus wants to deal with the issues in your life. Many times issues will isolate us. Think with me for a minute about the plague that's affected tons of people in my family, myself included, alcoholism. Alcoholism is one of those issues that isolates you, and you get further and further away, and pretty soon, after some years, you begin even to identify yourself, even in 12-step programs. Hi, I'm Bruce, and I'm an alcoholic. And you identify yourself with the issue rather than with who God's made you to be. Well, don't let the issue define you, but instead know that God's interested in dealing with and healing the very issues of your long-standing, unrelenting issues. I love this part. Jesus was interruptible. So this kind of goes to your image of Jesus and your image of God. Do you see the Lord as interruptible? Is it something, well, I don't want to bother you, Lord. I don't want to take time. That's kind of where she was at. She knew that she was going to violate a law by coming into his presence, but she wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Now think for a minute about that hem. Dragging through the streets of Jerusalem, the dusty, unpaved streets, And all she wanted to do was to go unnoticed and touch the hem of his cloak to be healed. But Jesus was interruptible. You know, Jesus, more than the stuff he wants to give, more than even the healing he would give this woman in her life, what he wanted to do, I believe, was focus in on her as a person, on her as an individual, to love and appreciate her specifically. He was interruptible. And there was a sense in which she was reaching with great expectation. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. She'd seen healings and knew that it was through the master's touch that the healings had taken place. And so she had this expectation that she would do this touching of his garment. She was really down to her last option. One of the versions says that she'd spent all of her life savings on doctors and there was no improvement. Instead, it was getting worse. You know? Sometimes there are issues in our lives that we try to solve on our own that are only solvable, they're only correctable, they're only to be meant to be dealt with by the Lord and his power, his strength, and his leadership. In fact, sometimes the very challenges and issues in your life are designed to cause you to look up and depend on him. You know, many things we take for granted. Turn on a faucet. You have water. Very few of us in this room ever pray for God to provide water for us. There are a lot of people in this world, they're praying on a daily basis for the provision of water. Well, it's provided for, I mean, it's just there, and so we take it for granted sometimes. Sometimes health. You know, some of you young people, it's easy to take health in a young person's life. Take it for granted. You got it, you know? You don't pray for it when you got it. Sometimes we're not even thankful for things that we've got. So this is the idea here. She was so driven to her knees by a need. She was at the end of a rope. She was out and reaching out because she knew God, Christ, could heal her. She could take this expectation. Let me encourage you about this idea of not settling for things, to keep believing, keep trusting, keep asking God to heal, to bless, to take care of and deal with the issues in our lives. Don't settle for where things are at. Always be expectant. This woman was expecting great things from God because of a need in her life. Shouldn't we expect great things from God? Now, there's a contrast, a pull between being content with where God's placed us and being expectant. It's designed for us to be content with such things as we have, but always be expectant to what God wants to do and ask him for healing, ask him for more, ask him for provision for every need of ours. The Bible says, every need of yours will be supplied by my God. Philippians 4:19, who richly supplies. This issue in her life had caused her to lose so many things. She not only lost her health, the Bible says she lost her relationships. Because in their covenant, in their Old Testament, Levitical, Mosaic law, she wasn't allowed to be around people. There was this unclean nature within, and she was not allowed to be around people. That's what you kind of saw the artist rendition portrayed in that video. She lost her relationships. She lost her substance. She spent every penny she had trying to get well. Do you know anybody like that? Healthcare costs causing them to lose everything. That's where she was at. And she didn't settle for that. Instead, she said, there's an answer here. There's an answer that's bigger than any one of our human answers. The answer is in God and his bigger picture, his larger and more expansive portrayal of what your life is and even your identity, who you are as a person. Jesus noticed. Jesus turned and saw her.
Jesus is on his way somewhere. Meanwhile, there's a lawbreaker in the midst of the Jews. She's a woman with female issues. She is, according to the Mosaic law, she is unclean. She has broken the law. She should be isolated. This is what the Mosaic law demands. She has a flow of blood. She has a female problem. It's been this way for 12 years. This woman comes behind Jesus, and she reaches to the hem of his garment. And in that moment, she encounters glory in the form of divine healing. She experiences the glory of God from his side. And Matthew 9:22 starts with some of the most profound theological words I've ever read in the New Testament. It says, "But Jesus turned around." He wants to find the woman. Do you know why this woman does not instantly reveal herself? Because she is convinced Jesus will be upset. He'll reject me. He'll take me according to the law. How many Christians today are unwilling to return again, whether it's to church or to God's presence, because they're convinced there'll be judgment, there'll be condemnation, there'll be rejection, when in fact the opposite is true? Because of his grace and your small measure of faith, God is adamant and passionate about revealing his acceptance and approval to you.
Yeah.
Wow, let's talk about that some more, huh? His approval. In fact, let's turn to another passage. It's a parallel passage that lists from Mark chapter 5. Now, this is really interesting because Mark's usually the more concise of the Gospels. Matthew's sometimes a little bit more expansive, more chapters, that kind of thing. But Mark picks out some details that aren't in the Matthew version. And it's so interesting to me because some of these perspectives are unique and different. And I want to focus a little bit more on the nature of the woman's need, the brokenness. In fact, approving the brokenness. This woman who had been rejected by her society, by her culture, by her law, is now being accepted by the Master, by the Lord himself. Read this along with me, if you would. This is from the International Version, Mark chapter 5. And the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she was growing worse. When she heard of this about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I touch his clothes, I will be healed." Underline this word, immediately. This is Mark's favorite word, immediately. It's found like 16 times in this. Immediately, he healed her. Her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around. Underline that. We just talked about that. He turned around again in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around, to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that she, what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." Focus in on a couple of things here as we see this approval that is given to the broken. First of all, the focus on her brokenness. This was extreme. This was not just a light affliction. This was extreme, and she was desperate for help. She was in all respects a broken person and knew it. Remember what the Bible says from Jesus' own mouth? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he gives this blessing. And if we know we're broken, we're halfway to health. When we know we're broken and we seek the Lord, we're almost there. So often we deny the facts that we have a need. We deny the facts that we're broken until it's the last resort. Think for a minute about Jesus' persistence in finding her. He turned around. He could have just gone on. Why do you suppose that Jesus took the time to ask and to keep asking until there was a recognition of what had taken place? He could have. Lots of people were brushing against him. Lots of people were touching his cloak, his coat, his robe, if you would. But one person caught his attention because of her faith, because of where she was at, because of her desire and what she had stated in advance. If I could just do this, healing would take place. So Jesus was not going to let this just pass on by. He wanted this to be, I think, an example that all three gospel writers of the synoptics would put in there for us to learn from. A lesson that would come down 2,000 years to us today to say, what is it that Jesus wants to be persistent in my life and get glory? You see, there's a sense in which when he's persistent in pointing out the blessing to us, in pointing out the blessing to others, there is a praise and a glory that he receives that is worthy. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. That's what was needing to take place here. Not because he was selfish, but because the blessing could then be amplified. It could be multiplied. It could go on to bless many, many others, including us today. Jesus was persistent in pointing out this brokenness and the need for that. That's why it says so interestingly, immediately there was a healing. The healing was immediate, but he delayed it a little. He had delayed the recognition a little bit to point out to everybody there. He overcame the law. He overcame sin, and he even overcame the woman's fear. Somehow she knew that if she came forward, even trembling, the Bible says, trembling with fear, that there would be acceptance and approval. Think of that word for a minute, approval. Isn't that something we all want? Maybe there's some times when your kids do something in your life and you just kind of have one of those moments of, you know, just kind of give one of those faces like, did any of you do that? Did you guys ever get that from your mom? You know, where it's like, come on, you know? And sometimes we think of, sometimes parents of teenagers do that, you know? They're like, are you serious? You know? Sometimes kids do that to their mom and dad, right? And I think sometimes we reflect God that way. We think of God with that kind of a, come on, you know? And we begin to project to him what maybe is a natural human mother or father figure. And instead, what does she get from the master? What does she get from the teacher? As she comes in fear, as he's wanting to overcome this fear, what does he give her? Not a, why'd you touch me? What are you thinking, woman? You know, just the opposite. A heart that's compassionate, a heart that's loving, a heart that's going above and beyond the, to give her, now just think for a minute about the countenance of Christ. You know, I think often what holds us back in our prayer life, what holds us back as believers, is we think of God's countenance and Christ's countenance is against us. The Bible says just the opposite. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro on the earth, looking for someone whose heart is completely his so that he can strongly support them. it says. The eyes of the Lord are not roaming to and fro on the earth to say, oh, I don't like that, I'm going to squash it. Well, that's the picture we normally have of the countenance of Christ. And it's just the opposite. Let this be the picture of the countenance of Christ in your mind. When you go to God in prayer, look for him to be saying, as he did with this woman, approval and joy and blessing. In fact, a definition and change of identity in her life. The countenance of Christ is vital and important. What does it look like? And you get an artist's rendition like we saw earlier this morning. But what is it in your mind? What's embedded in your mind is probably a parental figure. Good and bad. Good or bad. You know? And maybe you need to refresh that. Maybe you need to obliterate that. Maybe you need to just amplify and multiply that. Whatever it is, let the countenance of Christ be like this scriptural portrayal as he turns around and says, someone touched me. Let's take on one more verse. This is the Luke account. We'll finish up with this. Same rendition, but a few different details. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come into his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. Now, maybe I'm making too much of this, but I was just thinking how much the word 12 is in here. This woman had been sick for 12 years. This guy had a daughter that was 12. For 12 years, this woman had been dealing with hemorrhaging. This Jairus has got a daughter that's been dead, and now she's dying. I mean, maybe there's nothing to that, but it seemed like an interesting aspect to it. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So there's this great din, this press of the crowds upon him. And the woman that was there, who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Now, you remember Luke's occupation? Luke was a doctor. I mean, here he is talking about his own profession. No one could heal her. This is above and beyond the doctor's ability. No one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately, same word that Mark used, her bleeding, her hemorrhaging stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked, with all denying it. Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressuring against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, underline that if you would, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the crowd. She told why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Verse 48. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Focus in on a couple of aspects of Jesus here, maybe unique to this part. Jesus was discerning. He was able to discern among the crowd, not only that there were people there, that this woman there that had faith in him. In a way, it's an indictment against those who didn't have faith that were also touching him. I mean, the fact that he could point out a woman who touched him with faith in a way is an indictment against all of those who would touch him and not have faith. Those that needed to be healed, needed to be touched, and weren't with faith approaching. Notice the progression in this verse of the titles for the woman. It starts out by saying someone, a certain woman, someone. It says a woman, someone, and then it says he calls her daughter. Notice how he ends this incident. Daughter. We're celebrating Mother's Day today. There's some daughters here today. This is not just a human relationship. He's trying to get through, I think, to the core identity of this woman. To the core identity as God would see it through the Son, Jesus Christ, of who this woman really was. She wasn't just a sick woman. She wasn't just a woman with an issue of blood. She wasn't just a 12-year cripple dealing with her sight. She wasn't just an outcast who had to call unclean wherever she went. Instead, she was a daughter. Daughter. And as he gives that description, as he calls her out, hopefully, and it seems like the flood of identity change is beginning to take place. And I got to ask us today, do we see our identity in the issues of our life, or do we see our identity in how God views us? You are a son of the Most High God. You are a daughter of the Most High God. He calls us his children. He says, for as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, the honor to become children of God. Now don't define yourself by the issues in your life. He doesn't. They're temporary, they're momentary, they're fleeting, and they're gone. But what he calls us to is a sense of understanding, not with pride to approach him, but with gratitude and humility. Lord, thank you for making me your son. Now that doesn't take away from any of the thanksgiving we would give to our mothers, or later this year, to our fathers, praising God for the human instruments that he might use in our lives. But I know today, I know for sure today, there are people among us for whom their mothers and relationship with mothers is not necessarily a positive thing. Mothers are sinful human beings like fathers or anyone else. No? So we thank God for every good gift that came through our mothers, but we also sense, you know, even if there's something that is not good, God overcomes that by calling us his daughter, his son. That's the key identity. Don't let your issues define you. Instead, let the Lord call you out. Let the Lord define you and give his definition of who you are and who he's called you to be. Healing was in store. The best part about this isn't just the healing of the issue of blood. There was a healing that took place that would affect every relationship in her life. If her kids and family had to be gone from her because of this issue of blood, they could now take up normal residence again. If all the people in her culture and society, everyone at the well couldn't be with her, now they could join together. In fact, I love the way that video portrayed it. She's now a follower after Christ, probably one of those that would anoint him later and say, and he would say, those who are forgiven much, love much. Can you imagine the love that would radiate from this woman just in gratitude and appreciation for what Jesus had done in healing this woman and giving her new life? Healing and health always start with faith. Notice what it says. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. No matter what else we do, it's not going to be ultimately answered in worldly terms. It's not going to be answered in doctors. It's not going to be answered in the legal system. It's not going to be answered in politics. It's not going to be answered in the way a country is structured. It's not going to be answered in gun rights. I mean, there's all these things we'd say, that's not the answer. The answer is in our faith, our trust of God. Regardless of the outward circumstances, regardless of what the issue or issues are in our lives, God's got a call that is so much deeper, so much higher, and so much greater than any one issue in your life. It always starts health and wholeness. It always starts with faith. So I've got to ask you, I've got to ask myself, how much faith do I have? Is it faith that would make you and I whole? Moms, today, could I just challenge you? It's not about the Susie Homemaker stuff. It's not about being, textbook ready. those are good things. Be the hostess with all those good things. We love them. Cooking me, all that you do is so wonderful. But you know the most important thing? It has nothing to do with those things. It has to do with your faith and the building of that faith in the lives of young people. Guys, same thing. Are we looking to and utilizing faith? It's your faith that has made you whole. Who are you trusting in today? If you were to die today, if you were gone from this earth, if you were taken up into heaven, what would you say to the Lord today as far as what are you trusting for eternity? Are you trusting one thing and one thing only? Jesus. When he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. His promise is secure. It is ironclad. It is solid. We can count, we can take it to the bank. But we don't. Too often, it's something we're looking and we're depending on ourselves instead of his grace, instead of his leadership, and instead of our faith in him. When he asked the question, who touched me? I've got to ask you today, are you and is your faith touching him today? Maybe there's an immediate need that you need his touch on. Maybe there's something in your life that's an issue that you say, I need healing. I need this addiction dealt with. I need help in this arena right now. I want to touch the hem of his garment now. Reach out. You won't go unnoticed. Just the opposite. Your faith can make you whole. Maybe you're here today and you've not yet accepted Christ's death on the cross as your personal death, as the atonement for your sins. This would be a great day, Mother's Day 2013, to say, I receive that. Because that's when you receive it, he says, that's when you have the privilege, the honor, the right to become a child of God. Change from being just someone who understands it or it's in your head to being a daughter or a son of the Most High God by receiving the love of the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice in your life today. Maybe you've already received him in your life and you really need to let him use your life to be a blessing to others, that it would be an expression of thanksgiving for what he's done and how he's done it. The healing of the faithful is God's plan for every one of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for this picture, this model, this woman with an issue of blood that we could just see the hand of Christ, the touch of Christ in her life. And Lord, we just pray for that to be multiplied in our presence over and over again. Lord, would you have your way with us? Would we reach out in faith, believing all that you have in our lives? Thank you for this day. Thank you for all the gifts you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.